Second day ended in a bloody standoff. The scene that night was horrible. The woods had caught fire in several places. The pitiful cries of the wounded soldiers made their way toward both lines. These men would try to crawl away from the encroaching flames. The wounded men would. Many of them couldn't make it. And many soldiers on both sides commented about how tortured they were, sitting in their lines listening to comrades being burned up by fires that simply engulfed them. The same thing had happened to a lesser extent during the Battle of Chancellorsville the year before. Losses had been heavy on both sides, very heavy. 17,500 for Grant, probably 12,000 for Lee. Casualties almost exactly the same size on both in both instances as during the Battle of Chancellorsville the year before. Most seriously, on the Confederate side, James Longstreet was severely wounded, shot in the throat as he tried to get his lines untangled following the flank attack. It was circumstances very much reminiscent of the way in which Stonewall Jackson had been shot. Longstreet was shot by his own troops, some Virginians, just as Jackson had been shot by some of his own troops. Longstreet was shot while he was trying to maintain the momentum of a flank attack, as Jackson had been shot the year before. The difference was that Jackson died shortly thereafter. Longstreet did not. But Longstreet's wounding was a great blow to Lee and the Army in Northern Virginia. I haven't talked much about Longstreet in this course, but it's probably worth a minute or two right now. He was always Lee's senior subordinate. He always ranked Stonewall Jackson. He always commanded at least half of the infantry in the Army of Northern Virginia. He'd been a West Pointer, had done well in Mexico, had been in the old Army throughout the 1850s, and then literally had served from Manassas to Appomattox during the conflict. He did extremely well during the 7 days, during Second Manassas at Antietam. At Antietam, Lee worried that Longstreet hadn't been safe. At the end of the day, when Longstreet came into Lee's sight, Lee walked over to him and, in a very rare display of emotion for Lee, reached out toward him and said, "Here is Longstreet, here is my old war horse from the field he has done so much to save." That was very uncharacteristic of Lee to show that kind of emotion toward a subordinate. Longstreet's one of only two officers that Lee gave affectionate nicknames to during the war, the other being Jubal Early. At Gettysburg, Longstreet hadn't done well. In East Tennessee, he'd done even less well in independent command, but he and his troops had come back to the Army in Northern Virginia in April of 1864, where they had had a memorable reunion with Lee. The troops drawn up in long lines to be reviewed. Lee rode out, saw Longstreet. The two had a very, again, emotional meeting there. The troops broke out into an incredible, spontaneous demonstration of how deeply they cared for Lee. Longstreet took his hat off and acknowledged the cheers. Lee touched the brim of his hat, and one of the artillerists there likened this exchange between Lee and his men to a military sacrament where the soldiers under Longstreet pledged anew, as this man said, their faith to Lee. The point is that Lee was delighted to have Longstreet back. He was his strongest lieutenant. Lee leaned on him very much, and now he's gone. On May the 6th, Longstreet would be gone from the Army for months. So it's a terrible blow to lose Longstreet. The tactical advantage probably went by a small margin to Lee, but the key thing here is that Grant refused to see this as a defeat at the Wilderness or even a major setback. Hooker had retreated after Chancellorsville. Grant figured that he had pinned Lee down, had inflicted many casualties on him, and now I'll move forward. Remember that's still up in the air whether Benjamin Butler's going to capture Richmond from the south at this point. It's only May the 6th, and Butler is still a possibility as far as Grant is concerned. Grant decided to slide around Lee's right flank again and march south towards Spotsylvania Courthouse, the next obvious place on the map. And let's move now to the Battle of Spotsylvania. Lee figured out what Grant was doing, and both armies marched towards Spotsylvania beginning on May 7th. Grant had the more direct route. There's a great moment in the history of the Army of the Potomac when the soldiers reached a crossroads, literally reached a crossroads. If they'd gone one direction, they knew they would be retreating back to the Rappahannock. If they went the other way, they knew that Grant meant to continue the campaign. When they turned to the right,